Oh, man. This is all I got after that. I mean, how do you follow that? Girls. Girls, there you are. Woo! Come on, let's hear it for them one more time. That was what, as they say, lit. Okay, man, 8:05, right? I got a half an hour to give you about, like, 2 weeks worth of God downloading some things on me. Hang on. Get it done. Okay. So, as it was said, yes, I'm a teacher by day, father, husband, for the rest of the day, all the day. Worshipper, 24/7. It doesn't just start and stop on Sundays and Thursday night rehearsals and all that. It's the lifestyle of a worshiper, and it carries into. I was just talking to my friend, my little brother here, Matt Kabick. Wave, Matt. Matt. He was actually a student of mine. At Iroquois. We were just talking about that in ministry and what it means to be bivocational and a minister at the same time. And ministry doesn't stop, no matter what you are. Even if you're not in any aspect of ministry, worship team, or anything, you are still ministering because you have the glory of God inside of you that needs to come out. So I'm going to talk to you tonight about definition and identity. Now, I just spoke at a youth event and did some of this, and I really think in this day and age, people's definitions are getting all twisted and turned. How many of you know your identity is in Christ? Okay, but guess what? Sometimes your definition can change over time, even though that's still your identity. Sometimes your definition gets lost in translation. So I want to talk to you tonight about that. So if you were to ask yourself, or if somebody asked you to define yourself based on who you are versus what you are, could you do it? I always love when I sit with pastors and meet with them for the first time, and they say, "Who is Christian Rainville?" It's like crickets, and you know, you don't know how to quite answer that right off the bat. It's like, man, that's going to take a while. It's going to take a while to dissect and get to. That's a tough question. Who are you versus what are you? It's easy for me to say, I'm a teacher, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a worship director and all that. It's easy for me to say that. When it comes down to who am I, whoo, that's a big question. That's a loaded question. So that's what I want to get to tonight. Now, listen, I'm going to address some things tonight that may apply to you or not apply to you. I'm going to be talking about generation. And even if you're not in a specific generation that I'm going to talk about, I think it's still very relative, because I think what the church needs to do, hear me now, and this is not a slam on any program or anything. I think as a corporate body, the church overall, not just City Church, but the Tabernacle, but every church around, needs to rise to the occasion to set the next generation up for success. The next generation, I'm going to share some thoughts that God really placed on my heart. This next generation is no joke. It's no joke. I mean, there are some big things happening for this generation. I'll tell you why in a moment. So let's talk about influence versus identity. Okay, how many of you have influences in your life that you can say are positive, good influences, and you have people that speak into your life? You have, you know, maybe even music influences you. Maybe a specific worship artist influences you. A pastor, friends, okay? So on the influence side, we have our parents, we have our family. For students, they have their school, society, friends, church, pop culture. A big one that a lot of people try to ignore are past experiences. That influences you big time. I know I've been burned and hurt in the past, and I know sometimes those things creep up. Okay, but here's the thing. God is the God of now and the future. He doesn't care about what the past was. He has no record of what you've done wrong. If you're truly living that life of Christ, he doesn't care. He does not care. He cares about where are you now and where am I going to take you. Now, where are you going? Where am I, God, going to take you? He cares about that. So past experiences are huge, man. I've been burned. I've been hurt. I've been kicked around, tossed around. I've even beat myself up over past things. I'm telling you, that's not a kingdom mindset. It's hard to get over that. It's not a kingdom mindset, though. So identity are qualities and beliefs, personality, character, and self-image that make a person. Qualities, beliefs, your personality, your character, and self-image that make a person. So look at, I want you to, if you didn't notice this already, look at the arrows. Influence going in, but your identity coming out. Okay, your character is what is being seen. Your personality is obviously what's being seen. Your values are seen. If you're hiding your values, let them show out. What are your values? We want to know who you are. Your self-image, your passion, your dreams, priorities, intelligence. Now, listen, I've met some really smart people that are the dumbest people in the room. Do you know who I'm talking about? And they can tell you this and that and this fact, that fact, and the other fact. But, man, when it comes down to personal just heart issues, they are dumb. Okay, there's no connection there. I mean, I'm a science teacher. And as a science teacher and a fire-filled Christian, it's tough sometimes when it comes to those topics. How do you feel about the Big Bang Theory? How do you think you feel about evolution? I get asked those questions all the time. I've been persecuted for those things. I've been brought up saying, well, there's a teacher on your staff who doesn't even teach evolution. No. It's not that. I just teach the truth about evolution. And I teach from my own, out of my own conviction. I'm still teaching science. Don't worry, people. Not that you're worried, but don't worry, community of Iroquois High School. Ooh, did I just, I didn't say that. Scratch that from there. Don't worry about that. But I've been persecuted, called out not once, not twice, but three times on that very same thing. But God has his covering over me, and I don't have to worry. I know I'm doing the right thing in the kingdom because I'm being persecuted. Amen? If you're going through trials and struggles in your life, but you know you're living on that path, that narrow path that God has placed before you, and he's guiding your steps, if you're being persecuted and there's fire on every side of you, you're doing the right thing. Believe it or not, you're doing the right thing. I hate when that blanks out on me. Okay. So what I want to talk to you about that relates to your identity is your definition. If I can have the next slide come up. Okay, before you go to the verses, though. So English language is really weird. If somebody tells you to get a clue, that means, like, get the hint, you know. But the word clue, this is weird. I was thinking about definition and how words change over the centuries. A clue is a ball of yarn. Get a clue and run and get a ball of yarn. If somebody says you're awful, Ryan, you're awful, you should say thanks. That's awesome. You know why awful's good? Because it means awe-inspiring. It doesn't mean bad. It means awe-inspiring. Somewhere along the line, it got shifted. Nice. That's nice. I hear the kids say all the time. Nice. Okay, and they really accent the I for some reason. Nice. Why? It's just nice. Okay, that means silly or foolish. It originally meant silly or foolish. So now let's get to some slang. Just to add some humor woven into this thing here. Matt, you're the goat. You know what that means. Anybody know what goat is? Yeah, greatest of all time. So if you're called goat, it's a good thing. You're a goat. What did you say? Would you call me? Okay. Now let's do some weird stuff. So I'm going to come out to you guys. Where's the young people? Are you guys scattered everywhere? Am I going to have to get some steps in here? What am I at? 10629. All right. So word association, just give me the meaning that you think this means. If I friend you.
Facebook.
If I tag you.
In a post?
If I follow you.
You're it.
Okay, he's a close. So listen, could you imagine Jesus on the shore saying to his disciples, I'm going to make you fishers of men, follow me. At JC, Jesus, at Jesus underscore Christ, what is it? Could you imagine that? I mean, this day and age. And then you got silly things, like I already mentioned, lit. I'm like, a candle's lit. Okay, how about, oh, that's so basic. Come on already. And this one here always gets me because I'm like, I'm always waiting. I can't even. What? What can't you even? I can't even, Mr. Rainville. I can't even. Man, you are so salty today. Little, I guess. I mean, it's the nature of skin, but I use that one a lot. I can't lie. I'm salty. Savage. That guy's savage. I'm waiting for, like, something to happen. Am I in danger? He's savage. Am I in danger? But, I mean, you heard the responses of some of the millennial slash Generation Zers of those specific terms. I mean, things lose their definition over time or just shift and change. Be careful not to let that happen to you, your identity, your definition. It's very easy for that to happen because of past hurts, because who is influencing you? I just saw a post on the Facebook, on the Twitter, the Facebook, the online, that there was a guy talking about just who influences you and all that, and he said to mentioning students, you should find the nicest kid in school and be friends with that kid. Don't find the coolest kid. Find the nicest kid. You want to surround yourself with the right people. Okay, I was blessed to have parents that were just very involved in my life and healthy fear, very healthy fear of my father. Ooh, boy. Healthy. So I was in line, but there were moments in my life where I strayed from that path and was around the wrong people. And, you know, as a result, I ended up as a bouncer at a bar, a couple bars in town. And this was even before I was 21 years old. And just in bars, bouncing around that culture. And, oh, I felt disgusting. I felt disgusting. But God has shifted me around those things. But influence, I don't want you to lose your definition here. So the word of God says, Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. Next verse. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. How many of you know that when God says something three times, it matters? He created them. He created you. Listen, it says in the word that it wasn't until he breathed the life into Adam that Adam became a creature. I want that to sink in. Until God breathed his life into Adam, he became mankind. Listen, you carry that same breath in your lungs. That same breath in your lungs is meant to worship the Lord God Almighty, to give him glory and honor every day. It's not meant to be stifled. God gave you the breath, the very breath of God in those lungs. And all he wants from his people is to worship and commune with him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And the last verse, just to remind us who we are, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Listen, that wasn't just for him. That was not just for him. Listen, you associate the word with prophet as being mystical and hearing from the Spirit, and that's all true. But we are to be prophets. We are to be the light on the hill, the city on the hill that's shining out. We ourselves, we are the church. This building isn't just the church. We are the church. We are to be prophets to the nations, prophets to our own community, prophets to our own nation, speaking the life of God. Hallelujah. So, what I deal with on a daily basis is a specific demographic. I deal with teenagers ranging from 14 to 18, and then the super seniors, 19, 20. The ones who really love school that want to be there next year. No, I'm just telling the truth. Now this is, listen, this is the part where if it relates to you, great, listen. But let guess it relates to everybody in some way, shape, or form, because it might not be you that I'm talking about. But over the last, I would say, 5 years, there has been a stigma on a generation called the millennials. Okay, how many of you know that you're a millennial? Like you were born between 1984 or 1980, early 80s to what is it, 1995, I think it was. And then after that is Generation Z, which I deal with. I'm Generation X, which we don't know what we are. We don't know what we are. I don't know if there's a definition for Generation X, but millennials, how many of you have heard, like, if you hear the term millennial, you know that's just, there's a negative connotation to it. You millennials, you selfish, entitled brats, right? Okay? Well, it's kind of true, to a point. I mean, there's some, come on, you know, you've met those, I don't really want to work for that. Okay? There's a little bit of a stigma there, but listen, the millennials aren't the problem. Okay? Now, there's issues there that we don't have time to get into, but I want to talk about this current generation. Okay, millennials are, you know, Generation Z. They're called the plurals, the founders, the I generation. This generation does not know in America pre-9/11. They don't know an America that's not been in turmoil and trauma. I mean, like brinks of civil war here, people. I mean, it's bad. It's right now. It's not a healthy climate to be in. They don't know anything different. They don't know pre-9/11. They have no idea what a corded phone is, let alone a safe America. So, here's some thoughts from Generation Z. These are some quotes, I think. Whenever I'm bored, I can always find something to do on my phone. It's a male, 17. Next one. For me, being cool is being myself and having friends who like me for who I am. That's pretty neat from a 13-year-old. Okay, next. I only watch Netflix. I mean, that's reality. How many of you have ditched cable and just gone strictly streaming? Okay, it's the reality. My goals are to travel and become a founder of an organization to help people. Female 14. Listen, this generation now, they're extremely entrepreneurial. I can never say that word like good the first time. It's a tough one to say. But they're becoming extremely, like, they want to be self-sufficient. Music is an integral part of my life. A day without music is a bad day. Christian Rainville. Oh, male 16. Next one. Okay, so some quotes by our generation, our current young generation. They are digital, they are independent, global, unafraid. They are true digital natives. Listen, you want to talk about multitasking? Okay, I think I'm a good multitasker. But when I see these kids doing their homework and they've got their phone listening to music, one earbud in only, how many high schoolers are in here right now? Can you just explain to me the deal with one earbud in between classes just... Like, what, you have to get pumped up to go to trig? Like, if I'm not listening to that one song to get to trigonometry, I'm not making it today. I don't get it. And now they're incognito. You know, you got the earbuds that have no cord anymore. Okay, and I see them like, is that a hearing aid? Are you okay? Should I pray for this kid right now? So listen, now this is some hard truth right here. This is a big truth. Generation Z makes up 26% of our current population. That should be like 26%. I'm going to bring that back. 26%, that's huge. That means they're going to be the biggest consumer group. They're going to have the most influence. Listen, and I think this is neat. I think this is awesome. In today's current struggle with race, this will be the last generation where white Caucasian is the majority. I think that's great because America is a big melting pot of many cultures, many ethnicities, and I think it's awesome. But that's it. This is going to be, you're going to see just a shift in that. And they're very globally aware. They're very culturally aware. The cultural part is the one thing that disturbs me a little bit, makes me a little concerned. Because this is the same generation who are the ones saying, you do you. I hate that phrase, but that's the mindset. You do what you do, I do what I do, we'll stay, you know, whatever. I don't have to agree with you, you don't have to agree with me, we'll just go our separate ways. When is there going to be a convergence here of ideas of, and I'm not saying as Christians we just totally like bend over backwards for things that are not godly. And I want you to hear me clearly, because there's a lot of ultra grace Christians out there that won't teach biblical principles where it's ultra grace. Well, you can do that and still be saved. Well, be careful. Be careful what we're saying here. Okay? Listen, I love this about Jesus. He was the what to sinners? Friend. How do you become a friend? You hang out with them. Okay? I'm not Matt's acquaintance. That means I just met him. I'm his friend. He's my friend. I've spent time with him. Okay? Jesus was a friend of sinners. He's perfect. Okay? All those fiery darts, nothing. Nothing on him. We're human. We got to be careful, a little bit more careful. Our influence, remember. But Jesus was a friend. And we cannot be afraid to stand up for our beliefs, but speak in love. Listen, I work right across the hall with an atheist. You don't think that's like a struggle every day? I'm like, come on, open that door, open that door, open that door. I want to say some things. Okay, but every time I've spoken to this teacher, it's always been out of love. It's never been anything judgmental. It's never been Bible bashing. Listen, if somebody has already just said the Word of God isn't true, they're not going to hear the Word of God. I'm going to say that again. If somebody has pushed the Bible to the side, that's not the Word of God. They're not going to hear you, what you're really saying, if you're quoting Scripture at them. Okay? Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. Okay? They don't have that concept yet. So what do you need to be? You need to be the Bible they read. They need to see Christ in you. They need to see the glory of God stirring in you and saying, there's something different about that person that I don't really get. I'm confused by it. It scares me a little bit. Sometimes Christians can be scary. I mean, they're just all over you sometimes. But listen, out of love, I choose to love this person to really, and she'll bring up evolution. She'll bring up these things and it's like all intellectual and okay, I get it, you know, I get it. Okay, we're all going to have wings one day. I get it. But, you know, it's out of love. So, are you with me right now? Okay. Some stats. These are staggering. And I'm going to go from the highest percentage to the lowest. 59% of Generation Zers believe that church is irrelevant. Remember, 26% of the population. Okay, 50% are searching. They're searching. Is, you know, who is God? Can we really know who God is for sure? 33%, is God even real? I mean, here's the stumbling block. If God is real, why is there so much evil in the world? Why are children dying? Why did this person get cancer? Why did my dog get hit by a car? Who knows what they're going to blame? Okay, here's a great analogy that you can use. Anytime somebody asks me this question, I say, well, let's see. You're just closest, so what's your favorite car? What car do you want?
Anything.
Any car. So she says Ford Mustang. A Lambo. She wants a Lambo. Okay, so, man. All right. Neurosurgeon in your future? Are you going to be a neurosurgeon? Amen. Do it. Go for it. So listen, she goes and buys a Lamborghini from the Lamborghini store. Does anybody sell Lambos around here? I don't know. But she goes to buy that Lamborghini. She gets it off the lot, and she decides to gun that thing. What does this thing do? So she just takes that thing 120 down the road, and because of the grace of God on her life, she wraps around a tree, but she walks away fine. But she wraps this Lambo around a tree. She's fine because of the grace of God. You're covered. Okay? But does she go back to the Lamborghini store and say, look what you did. Look what you did to this car. No. Sweetheart, you did that. You were in the driver's seat. We've given you free will over that car, and you did that. Sorry to say. But that's got to be, listen, God gave us free will. Okay? The original sin of Adam and Eve, okay, that's our fate, I'm sorry to say. We can't go around blaming God for every bad thing that happens in this world. I don't know the reasons. Maybe we're not meant to understand. But there is peace. He provides peace that passes all understanding. And it's hard to get there. And it's okay to mourn. It's okay to get there and mourn and take that time for yourself to reconcile what's happening in your life. But there's peace that passes all understanding. So let me move on. 33 attend church. Well, that's a good sign. Next, 28 teach themselves. That's dangerous. 28% teach themselves. What are they doing to teach themselves? They're looking for alternate gods in this world. 13% are atheists. This is what's scary here. 6% of baby boomers, 6% of Generation X, 6% of millennials were only atheists. Doubled. Generation Z has doubled in their atheist. That's not good. 9% are actively engaged. Why is the lowest number in this generation actively engaged? By actively engaged, I mean they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe that he's the Redeemer over their lives. They are actively involved in their church, doing something, worship team, part of the youth group, part of the young adults group. Okay, they're actively engaged in church. Only 9%. So this begs to ask the question, what can the church do? Listen, it's not going to be found in programs. You can offer every program there is out there. It's not going to be found there. This is a generation that is searching for true, tangible presence encounters with the living God. They want real, something tangible. They don't want to waste their time. Because their attention spans like a goldfish. They don't want their time wasted. Listen, imagine a presence-filled room like this church, like the tabernacle, a presence filled. Listen, the presence of, you don't have to have 24-hour worship services to have the presence of God in the sanctuary, in the auditorium. Listen, when I was out there, and I just go into the lab really quick, and you guys had that clapping and you know, I called it a fire tunnel, but, you know, we don't need people dropping, you know, slaying the spirit right off the bat here. But, you know, you're clapping, you're welcoming these people in. Pastor Ryan, you know, you guys are blessed with warm, encouraging leadership, listening to Ryan encourage the teenagers as they're worshiping. That's incredible. That's the presence of God. Okay, these teenagers, these young adults, and you might be sitting out here saying, this really doesn't relate to me. Well, yeah, it does. Because you need to step in and walk alongside these young people. You need to step in and walk alongside these young people. Listen, I don't take my teaching career lightly. I'm dealing with a lot of hurt kids. I'm dealing with a student right now who cuts himself for attention. I'm dealing with young ladies with eating problems, eating disorders. I'm dealing with lesbianism, homosexuality. Kids, listen, there's a student in my room that is struggling with that. I love him. He's funny. I love him. He knows what I'm about. But that doesn't scare him off. He doesn't come to my room saying, oh, Mr. Rainbow's going to judge me. He's going to judge me. I feel that judgment. He doesn't feel that when he comes to my room. He feels love. He feels loved because I'm not sitting there saying, you know, I'll correct. Don't trust me. These kids, have you ever been in a high school hallway lately? Adults, have you been in a high school hallway? You don't get to answer, Shawnee. Okay. Some of the conversations, I heard some dude walking down the hall yesterday, like, come on, dude. How many F-bombs do you really need to prove your point? So I screamed from my doorway. I mean, hey! I was like, I mean, my voice is not, when I get going and I'm revved up, Matt. Okay, Matt's been subject to many of my rants back in the day. But when I get revved up and I'm stirred up and somebody's doing the wrong thing, trust me, I'm all over it. I don't let things slide. Now these kids know. I stand out in the hall all the time. I'm a presence out there, just greeting them, loving on them, and then they'll slip up, and now they know. Sorry, Mr. Rainbow, I didn't mean to say it. Yeah, I'm just, you know, you got to be a presence. Adults, you got to be a presence in these people's lives. You have children in your life, and listen, I'm being so careful with my sons because they are Generation Z. I don't want them to slip away from me so much that I cannot be a presence in their life. They're only 6 and 8. Well, listen, they become teenagers and they think they can just sneak off to their room and play Nintendo Switch or go on whatever new tablet there is or whatever there is. Listen, I'm going to be a presence. They're going to sit down at the table with my wife and I, and they're going to talk to us about their day. I'm still going to sit with them at night and discuss Scripture once they're old enough to really comprehend the weight of the Word of God. I pray with them every night. My wife and I pray with them every night, read Scripture to them every night. I've got to be so intentional. Adults, listen to me. You got to be so intentional with these kids. Now, they might annoy the heck out of you. Trust me. There's days I want to light some kids on fire. Nothing that a good old choke slam would heal, you know? There's days, trust me, there's days, but God's grace is over me. God calms me down. I got to take a few breaths, Holy Ghost breaths. Okay? But there's days. But listen, as hard as it is sometimes, I need to stand behind them, hold their hand, stand next to them. I know you're not supposed to be, like, putting your hands on students and everything. I'm smacking these guys in the back. I'm giving some of these guys bro hugs. You know, I'm lightly, you know, girls who are fine, you know, have a good day, just a little tap on the back. You know, they appreciate that. Adults, these kids appreciate your influence. They appreciate you speaking into their lives. Don't let them tell you different. They might act like, oh, okay, Dad, okay. Leave me alone, Mom. Mom, why are you looking at my texts? My boys better get used to it. They will have no privacy. I mean, what happened? I remember my grandparents' generation, the greatest generation, World War II. They've lived through some stuff. So, you know, what happened to the respect there? All of a sudden, these kids are demanding your respect before they respect you. I had some kid, 758, oh dear Lord. It's a story for another day. Listen, I know. The tribe of Judah was the least likely tribe to succeed. And this is something God really stirred up in me. It just kind of hit me like a lightning bolt, and this is for everybody. They were unlikely to become the strongest tribe. Out of all of Jacob's sons, Judah was least likely. The tribe of Judah became the stronger tribe because they had the most numerous warriors. What percentage of Generation's years? Over a quarter of our population. If we can somehow, hear me, if we can somehow get this generation to be warriors after Christ, listen, they need to be they've got to be the ones raising the battle cry of this generation. That doesn't lessen your role as adults. Our role is pretty significant, if you think about it. We are preparing them for that. We are. I got to prepare my sons. You have to prepare your children, even your spiritual children. If you have a spiritual child in this life, it's heavy. I don't take spiritual fathering lightly. Because I'm not raising spiritual sons, I'm raising spiritual fathers. Hear that? I'm not raising a son. I'm raising them to be fathers, strong warriors for their generation. Now, listen to this. After the death of Joshua, God chose Judah to take the lead in conquering the nations who were living in the Promised Land. This is a generation that got to witness the reestablishment of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. That sends chills up my spine. That's huge. That's so huge. They witnessed that. Through Judah came King David. Through Judah also came Jesus. Listen, this is not thus saith the Lord, but maybe it is. Maybe God is really speaking to this generation. We're raising up a Judah generation. Least likely What do they know? They're just kids. They have the attention span of a goldfish. They're stuck in their phone the whole time. They're the Judah generation. The most numerous warriors will take back the nations. We have to raise them up. We have to raise them up. I don't have time for everything else here, but listen, I've got a big burden for this, obviously, because I'm a teacher. I'm invested in that. But I used to be the guy saying, you stinking millennials. What is wrong with you? You can't even string together words to make a coherent sentence when you have to shorten every word. I mean, if you can't text a sentence without an emoji, there's an issue. I can't express how I feel. What's the perfect emoji? And now it's even worse. Now, like, the iPhone 10 has, like, the animated, like, Bitmoji, right? I don't know what the thing is, the app, but we listen. I'm not kidding. This Generation Z, if we're not careful, with 26%, we've already got atheism on the rise, 13%. If we're not careful, grown-ups in the room, adults, young adults, this generation can either go the wrong way or they could be proven to be the greatest generation that turns things around, that witnesses. You're going to see more lives changed on the streets than in church. Because of Generation Z. Because of my guy Matt right here, listen, I don't want to embarrass Matt, but if he ever had the chance to tell you his story and what he is right now, it brings a tear to my throat and a lump to my eye thinking about it. I have to be goofy about it or else I'll cry. But this young man is a warrior for Christ. I want to keep raising those spiritual men, those spiritual women. So I just want to encourage you tonight. Listen, if you didn't feel like this was for you tonight, it is for you. I got to keep saying it is for you. I don't care if you're 90 years old or 9 years old. This is for you. Let's pray for this generation. If you could just want to stand to your feet right now, I just want to declare some things over this generation, over the spiritual fathers and mothers of this house, those of you that don't think that you have an impact in young people's lives, you do. I just want to declare this over you tonight. God, let's just stretch out our hands. Lord, we surrender. And Lord, there's some issues possibly of pride that might cause a disconnect between a younger generation, older generation. Well, I know better than them. Well, teach them if you know better. It's a lot easier to surrender your pride than to swallow it. So, Lord God, I just come to you tonight, Father. Lord, I lift up every person in this room. Lord, that you would somehow link hearts. Link the older generation to the younger generation. Link their hearts, Father God. Lord, that they would stand side by side, Lord God. It's not a matter of out with the old, in with the new. Because if we really think about it, we are all one generation. We are the chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood with Christ as our cornerstone. Lord, I pray, Lord, over this Judah generation, the least likely to make a difference. I'm calling out all warriors in this generation. Warriors that are after the things of God's heart, that want to see the presence of God move across this nation, across this community. Lord, I believe in the people of this church and the body of Christ altogether around this nation. Lord God, that if we link arms with this generation, the millennial generation, Lord God, there's going to be such breakthrough, there's going to be such revival that we have not seen like we've seen it in the past. That the revival that is coming will happen on the streets, it will happen in stores, it will happen at Starbucks, it will happen at pizzerias, wherever. Lord, because this generation is unafraid. This generation is unafraid to go up to somebody and say, hey, God loves you. Can we pray? What's the worst they can say? No? So, Lord, I thank you. I pray just a special anointing over this generation, over the adults, the young people, Lord God. Just a special, fresh, new anointing. Lord, it's time to make new wine. It's time to empty ourselves, Father God, of the old and just be refilled with the new. So we're open vessels to what you want to do tonight, God, and what you want to do for the rest of our lives. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Come on, would you give him a hand tonight? I'm sitting there and I'm contemplating this message, and it rings so true to me because I can remember being Kai's age, and it's at that 14, 15, 16 year old age where God really, there's impressions that are left in their hearts and in their spirits and in their intellect that we don't have. The 30, the 40, the 50. I was sitting in a teaching lately, and it was by Charles Neiman, and he said, if you want the new best thing for a ministry, for a church, stop looking within yourselves and start looking to the teenagers. They have the next bright idea. And he said, not only in ministry, but in business and in culture. They're forming the culture. Now, we're not. And so when you started to communicate this word tonight, I'm sitting there, and I got to tell you, this is probably one of the best words I've heard in months. It's so impressive. Tuesday nights, we go into Tuesday nights. You want to see kids that need love. They need the love of a father. They need the love of a mother. I want all the young people, if you'd come down tonight. I saw this done. I was with my dad, and we were in Horseheads, and a minister by the name of Larry Stockstill. Why don't you come up front and turn right around and look towards. I saw this done, and I believe, yeah, all the young people, all of them. I wish my boys were down here. I saw this done, Larry Stockstill. He spoke a message on honor and fathering and mothering. And he spoke to the fathers and the mothers, and he said, your affirmation is the key to your child's success. And, come right down here. So here's what I want to do tonight. Debbie, maybe if you jump on the keyboard wherever you are. Here's what I want to do. I want all the parents to come down. Who doesn't have a parent here tonight? You don't? So, Aaron, I want you to go to Natalie, Tality. Nicole, you go to Tality. What's your name, honey? Genesis. I ask you every time, don't I? I want, what's that? Stacy. Yeah, Stacy. Come on down. I want you to do something that I saw all the parents of these kids start making your way down. I want you to affirm your children. And then I want my dad to do something. I want him, after the parents are done, I want my dad to go to every child down here. And I want you to bless these kids with a father's blessing, with the affirmation of a father and a mother. And you know, we don't know all the time what's going on with kids. I know a couple things that are going on. They're cooking, they're brewing right now. And kids need the love and affirmation of parents so much. And I say to you tonight, because I have the mic, I affirm you. I'm proud of you, Ben. Paigey, I'm so proud of you guys. Tality, I'm so proud of you, honey. Paigey, I'm so proud of you. Natalie, man, when you started singing that song tonight, I said, there's one of my next new worship leaders right there. That's her. Tyler, I'm so proud of you. Kai, boy, I'm so proud of you. Parker, Olivia, Abby, Shoshana, I'm so proud of you. I want you to stretch. If any of these kids, Ron, you affirm me as a child. You know that? Through all the rough road, any people could say anything they want about you, you affirm me as a son. And I'm forever thankful for that. And that's why I know moments like this, it can turn the course of a child's life. If there's a child down front here that is a son or a daughter to you, man, I see some of the parents, you're looking at me and you're saying, I want to be affirmed. I affirm you. You're a good man. You're a good woman. You're a good mom. You're a good dad. If you have a son or a daughter standing up here, don't interrupt what's happening, but you can make your way down. I want you to stretch your hand towards these kids tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive, accept this word openly in our hearts and in our spirits. And we declare tonight, we're not sure how to always make room and open the door for the next generation. But Father, we say willingly that our hearts are open. Lord, continue to work in us an open door for young people, for this next generation. Let this house be known. Let people come far and wide and say, what are they doing that they're raising up so many? Let there be many sons. Let there be many daughters raised up in this house. I even thank you for the kids that are in Big Kids and the kids that are in Jam and the kids in the nursery. Father, we claim them as yours, children of the church, children of God, for this place in this time. What's that? Yeah, every one of them. I want you to. Aaron, you should, every child. Where's Nathan? Nathan, you're pastoring every child up here. Be very sensitive as you leave tonight. Don't interrupt tonight. Don't be loud. If you want to stay and you want to observe this, you could stay. But don't interrupt what's happening down here. Love you, bro.